And so, 3 days later, Mrs. Maudsley arrived at the house and knocked at the front door. Astonished to get no answer, she frowned. After all, she had sent a note to say she was coming, and walked round to the back. The kitchen door was ajar, so with a quick knock, she went in. No one was there. Mrs. Maudsley looked around. 3 apples on the table, brown and wrinkled and starting to collapse upon themselves. A black dishcloth next to a sink, piled high with dirty plates, and the window so filthy that inside you could hardly tell day from night. Her dainty white nose sniffed the air. It told her everything she needed to know. She pursed her lips, set her shoulders, took a tight grip on the tortoiseshell handle of her bag, and set off on her crusade. She went from room to room, looking for Isabel, but on the way taking in the squalor, the mess, the unkemptness that lurked everywhere. Mrs. Maudsley didn't like what she saw at all. She frowned at the half-closed curtains and sighed at the tarnished silver and shook her head in amazement at the saucepans on the stairs and the sheet music that was scattered all over the floor of the hallway. Tucked into a dark corner of the library, between 2 sets of shelves, was a flea-ridden blanket and a filthy pillow, and at first she took it for a cat's bed. Then, looking again, she spotted the corner of a book visible beneath the pillow. She drew it out. It was Jane Eyre. From the library, she passed to the music room, where she found the same disorder she had seen elsewhere. The furniture was arranged bizarrely, as though to facilitate the playing of hide-and-seek. On the piano, a vase contained blackened, brittle stems, and around it a neat circle of papery petals like ashes. Mrs. Maudsley reached her hand toward one and picked it up. It crumbled, leaving a nasty yellow-grey stain between her white-gloved fingers. Mrs. Maudsley seemed to slump down onto the piano stool. What was going on in her mind as she sat there on the piano stool, staring into space? These were people who couldn't keep their flower vases topped up. No wonder their children were misbehaving. The extent of the problem seemed suddenly to have been revealed to her through the dead flowers, and it was in a distracted, absent fashion that she pulled off her gloves and spread her fingers on the black and grey keys of the piano. The sound that resounded in the room was the harshest, most un-piano-like noise imaginable. This was in part because the piano had been neglected, unplayed and untuned for many years. It was also because the vibration of the instrument's strings was instantly accompanied by another noise equally unmelodic. It was a kind of a howling hiss, an irritated, wild sort of a screech, like a cat whose tail has got under your feet. Mrs. Maudsley was shaken entirely out of her reverie by it. On hearing the yowl, she stared at the piano in disbelief and stood up, her hands to her cheeks. In her bewilderment, she had only the barest moment to register that she was not alone. There, rising from the chaise longue, a slight figure in white. Poor Mrs. Maudsley. She had not the time to appreciate that the white-robed figure was brandishing a violin, and that the violin was descending very quickly and with great force toward her own head. Before she could take in any of this, the violin made contact with her skull. Blackness overwhelmed her, and she fell unconscious to the floor. There she lay for a good half hour, until the missus, back from the farm where she had been to collect eggs, happened to glance in at the door and see a dark shape where she hadn't seen a dark shape before. There was no sign of a figure in white.